listening to The Corbett Report.
Welcome back, friends. Welcome back to The Corbett Report podcast. I'm your host, as always, James Corbett of CorbettReport.com, coming to you from the sunny climes of Western Japan here in October of 2024 with episode 468 of The Corbett Report podcast. And now, for an announcement from the Ministry of Toothbrushes. Well, if that intriguing title has caught your attention, then boy, do I have a presentation in store for you. Hang on to your hat for that, but first let me explain what this presentation is and from whence it derives. Specifically, this is the presentation that is going to be aired at the Liberty on the Rocks 2024 Voluntarist Conference, that is set to take place in Sedona, Arizona, from November 1st to 3rd. That's coming up just in a week or two here. So I hope you already have your tickets for this event, but if not, you can, of course, find them online, specifically at sedona.artofliberty.org, where you can find more information about this conference, who will be speaking at it, and how to purchase tickets for it. If you're going to be in Sedona or around the Arizona area, then you can purchase tickets to attend the event itself and the various things surrounding this conference. Or you can also purchase virtual tickets so that you can stream the entire conference as it takes place. And if and when you do purchase tickets for the conference, you can use the checkout coupon code CORBETT5 for a discount, and also I will receive a portion of those as a way of supporting my work. So I would appreciate that if you use that coupon code. Win-win for everyone. Now, having said that, all of the information will be there for you to peruse at your leisure at the sedona.artofliberty.org site, but it will tell you about the various speakers who will be speaking at this conference, including numerous previous CorbettReport.com guests like Larkin Rose, like Etienne de la Boite Squared, like Walter Block. And the theme of this conference is going to be, yeah, but who would pave the roads? Who would provide this service? Who would do this thing if there was no government? So that was sort of the organizing idea and principle of the various talks that are being given at this conference. So when Etienne de la Boite Squared approached me to ask me to speak at this conference, I unfortunately had to decline speaking in person, as I will be here in Japan, but I am happy to send this video presentation that they will be airing at the conference. And I thought, what could be my contribution to this? Because I know people like Walter Block have written entire scholarly articles about the concept of the roads and who would build the roads if it weren't for government and other such subjects like this. What can I contribute to this? Well, me being me, I decided to take the entire issue, flip it on its head, and approach it from a completely the opposite direction. And that is going to be, well, what you are about to see in terms of this presentation. And now for an announcement from the Ministry of Toothbrushes, which will make sense in short order. So I'm going to play this entire presentation for you here as a sort of A, sneak preview of the conference generally, and B, as a special gift and treat to my regular viewers and listeners. And as I say, if you are interested in this conference, please do check out their homepage. I'll put the link in the show notes so you can go and check it out and you can decide if you're interested in it. As a further thing to wet your whistle while you wait for the conference itself to take place, the Art of Liberty has just put the entire 2023 conference online for streaming. So you can now stream all of the various presentations from the 2023 conference to get an idea of what you're in store for. But here is my presentation to the Liberty on the Rocks 2024 conference. Enjoy.
And now, an announcement from the Ministry of Toothbrushes.
Friends, countrymen, dentites, lend me your teeth. I am, as you well know, Floss Chompers, overlord of the Ministry of Toothbrushes, and I come to you today with a great announcement and a dire warning. First, the announcement. With great glad tidings, I bring you some joyous news about the status of this year's toothbrush production quota. Not only will we meet this year's target of the production of 57 million toothbrushes, we will exceed that target. Yes, friends, I am unbearably proud to announce that this year we will produce not 57 million toothbrushes, but 62 million toothbrushes. I will allow you a moment to process this wonderful news. Yes, thanks to the tireless effort of all of the diligent workers at the ministry, and of course, thanks to the favor of Emperor Kamala Trump Kushner IV, from whom all blessings flow. No one will be short of a toothbrush in this long, dark winter of the mouth. Of course, in order to achieve this incredible goal, certain compromises have had to be made. I know that you have become accustomed to having a choice between a men's toothbrush and a woman's toothbrush and a child's toothbrush. I know there are even those who claim that there was once a choice between boys' and girls' toothbrushes, but those are silly rumors and should not be countenanced. There are even those who claim that people once used to be able to buy different colors of toothbrushes.
But that is heresy, and you will be burned at the stake
for even thinking such a thing. Well, as I say, in order to reach our production quota this year, the incredible engineers at the Ministry of Toothbrushes have, after a painstaking year-long study, devised one toothbrush that will be favorable to everyone. Yes, friends, today I am excited to present to you a true miracle of our glorious industrial age. Not a toothbrush. The toothbrush. The only toothbrush you will ever need. The only toothbrush you will ever use. The only toothbrush that will be available at the government store this year. So, without further ado, I present to you the toothbrush. Truly, this is an incredible feat of engineering, and, the designers assure me, is the perfect compromise between the tastes of everyone in the population. Male, female, old, young. All can agree that this cute, pink, toothbrush-emblazoned toothbrush is the only toothbrush they will ever want. And what's more, this year's toothbrush will be available, as usual, for the low, low price of 50 carbon credits. Remember, the less meat you consume, the more carbon credits you'll have to purchase a toothbrush. Now, I know you're all excited to rush out and buy this marvel of oral ingenuity. But before you go, I have something very important to discuss with you. It has been brought to my attention that a certain heresy has crept its way into the public discourse. A crass blasphemy whispered in the sort of dirty, back alley, non-government authorized coffee shops frequented by thought criminals and mental defectives. Apparently, there are some who have suggested... I'm sorry, I find it difficult to even let these words escape my lips. There are some who claim that we do not need a government ministry to ensure the proper production of toothbrushes. The very thought. I know that most of you know that this is utter nonsense, sheer lunacy, to be discarded without a second thought. But to anyone who, even for a second, would entertain such a thought, may I remind you what life was like in the olden days? The before times, when people believed that they did not need the government to tell them what to wear, or tell them whom to marry, or tell them what job they were going to do, or to ensure the proper production of toothbrushes? Yes, I know those times are painful to think about now that we live in the joyful utopia of the all-pervasive United State of Global Technocracy, Inc., under the loving rule of Emperor Justin Castro Ardern Stalin VII, blessed be her name. But think about them we must. We must be reminded that once upon a time, people believed that they did not need a government to produce the officially approved Newspeak dictionary. That no government officials were needed to approve the choice of font on their corporate newsletter, or to tell people the proper color to paint their house, or to regulate the length of one's hair, or to ensure the production of toothbrushes. Naturally, we know that these things could never be done, never even conceived, without government. As the founding constitution of our glorious omnipresent state so poetically puts it, without government, who would make the pencils? Or the toothbrushes? Imagine private enterprise and free individuals deciding what to do with their lives. Deciding what kind of haircut to get, or when to go to sleep at night, or what hobby to spend their time on, or what kind of toothbrush to buy. You know what that would be, don't you?
Anarchy!
Chaos! Blood flowing in the streets! Cats marrying dogs! People deciding on their own toothbrushes. No! Let us never countenance such talk, dear friends of the floss. And, my dear comrades, if you ever hear someone entertaining such ideas, report them to the appropriate authority at once. Don't worry. We here at the Ministry of Toothbrushes, well, let's just say we have ways of dealing with such heretics. Now, that unpleasantness aside, enjoy your new toothbrushes, and let us, as always, give thanks to the wonderful state manufacturers who make such products possible. Now, before you go to purchase your toothbrush, please rise for our international anthem. Oh, okay, enough silliness. No, I am not Floss Chompers, the overlord of the Ministry of Toothbrushes. I'm James Corbett, your humble host here at The Corbett Report at CorbettReport.com. And you might have guessed that this is satire. This is parody. This is reductio ad absurdum. Oh, I get it. James is using the obviously ridiculous idea of a government takeover of the design and production and sale of toothbrushes as a way to show the nonsensical nature of central planning itself. I mean, the idea that government would ever actually try to do this is so obviously unrealistic that it should get us to start questioning the supposed need for government to take over the production of other goods and services, like the adjudication of personal disputes or the regulation of food and medicine. But if that is what you guessed, you guessed wrong! You see, you might have thought the idea of a government attempting to control the production of toothbrushes is stupid, silly, out there satire. But I'm here to inform you that it is stone cold reality.
Gosplan's managers built a world that was simple, like a machine. Everything society needed, down to the smallest object, was constructed to their design. Their instructions were called planned indicators, rational predictions of what they knew society needed.
Мы представляем Московское производственное объединение по выпуску пластмассочечных изделий. Я генеральный директор, это мой заместитель по качеству.
We manufacture 70 million toothbrushes a year, enough for the entire population of the Soviet Union. Until recently, we had a huge number of plan indicators imposed on us. Every toothbrush was planned, like all the products we made.
Самые мелкие детали изготовления щеток контролируется государственными организациями.
The tiniest details of our range are controlled by government agencies. This includes the planning of quantities for each toothbrush. Now, if you are at all intrigued by that clip and interested in exploring it in context, what are you doing? I exhort you to go and watch The Engineer's Plot, which is part one of Adam Curtis's Pandora's Box documentary, where you can see, for example, the members of the USSR's All-Union Scientific Research Institute for the Study of the Population's Demand for Consumer Goods and the Conjuncture of the Market talk about how they would determine the precise numbers and style of pairs of pantyhose to be manufactured in any given season. You can watch them get out the literal reams of print paper containing the data they used to determine consumer demand trends for products such as women's pantyhose, and lament that by the time the products they designed were actually manufactured, people wouldn't want that style anymore. You can hear them complain that the dear comrades in their centrally planned utopia had cottoned on to the fact that if goods were actually available for purchase in the perfectly controlled Soviet economy, then it meant those goods were already out of fashion. And you can see Sergei Mikhailovich Ulanov, the head of organization and methodology of price creation, USSR State Committee on Prices, brag about how the glorious Soviet technology would condense stacks of consumer price data down to a couple of floppy disks that will fit in their workers' desk drawers. And you can observe A.S. Fedorenko of the Central Economico-Mathematical Institute of the USSR Academy of Sciences lament that the glorious centrally planned Soviet economy collapsed not because the brilliant engineers and technocrats weren't perfecting the science of economics and manufacturing, but because the bureaucrats didn't follow their scientific advice. And you can listen to Vitaly Semyonovich Lelchuk of the USSR Academy of Sciences, admitting that the vast scale of state planning of goods and services became absurd. They planned the demand for novels and movies. They planned the quotas for arrests by the KGB. They planned the production of coffins. They planned the number of coffins needed in any given season. Let that sink in. Now, the worst part is that whatever people may think of the science, the specific parts of this scientific method of planning, the concept of central top-down planning is, to most people, just an extension of this, the type of planning that we can and do rely on every day in our day-to-day life. I mean, coffin manufacturers exist, and they are right now planning how many coffins to manufacture this year in our current society. Pantyhose manufacturers are planning how many and what size and what style of pantyhose to manufacture. Toothbrush manufacturers are planning how many toothbrushes to manufacture. So why have all this inefficiency and waste of the messy free market? Why not just let the state do it? I mean, who cares if they're off on their calculations from time to time? They can adjust. And who cares if people care about fashion? Fashion is irrational and irrelevant. People will get the style of toothbrush that the state planners determine is best to manufacture, and they'll learn to like it. After all, it's in the name of the state. Of course, we could talk about the fundamental failure of central planning, as opposed to the fundamental success of the free market based on individual businesses competing for people's patronage. We could bring up Mises and the economic calculation problem. Quote, "Without economic calculation, there can be no economy. Hence, in a socialist state wherein the pursuit of economic calculation is impossible, there can be, in our sense of the term, no economy whatsoever. In trivial and secondary matters, rational conduct might still be possible, but in general, it would be impossible to speak of rational production anymore. there would be no means of determining what was rational, and hence it is obvious that production could never be directed by economic considerations. What this means is clear enough, apart from its effects on the supply of commodities. Rational conduct would be divorced from the very ground which is its proper domain. Would there, in fact, be any such thing as rational conduct at all, or indeed such a thing as rationality and logic in thought itself? Historically, human rationality is a development of economic life. Could it then obtain when divorced therefrom? End quote. Yes, the operative question here is not who will build the roads, but where will they build them? When? With what materials? Why pave with asphalt? Why not gold? Why build a road from A to B and not A to C? Or D to L, or any other configuration? Or, as Mises puts it, quote, picture the building of a new railroad. Should it be built at all? And if so, which, out of a number of conceivable roads, should be built? In a competitive and monetary economy, this question would be answered by monetary calculation. The new road will render less expensive the transport of some goods, and it may be possible to calculate whether this reduction of expense transcends that involved in the building and upkeep of the next line. That can only be calculated in money. It is not possible to attain the desired end merely by counterbalancing the various physical expenses and physical savings. Where one cannot express hours of labor, iron, coal, all kinds of building material, machines, and other things necessary for the construction and upkeep of the railroad in a common unit, it is not possible to make calculations at all. The drawing up of bills on an economic basis is only possible where all the goods concerned can be referred back to money. Admittedly, monetary calculation has its inconveniences and serious defects, but we have certainly nothing better to put in its place, and for the practical purposes of life, monetary calculation as it exists under a sound monetary system always suffices. Were we to dispense with it, any economic system of calculation would become absolutely impossible. End quote. Well, all true, of course, and utterly devastating to the machine men with machine minds who lust after the perfectly ordered, meticulously engineered, centrally planned socialist technocratic utopia where the government eggheads plan every decision. But that's not quite the point I'm making today. Or I could bring up my favorite essay, Leonard Reed's I, Pencil, which notes that the sheer amount of human organization and cooperation that is needed to make even as simple an object as a pencil is impossible for any central bureaucratic office to itemize, let alone direct. It's not just some raw material somehow acquired and assembled into a product. It's cedar and graphite and candelilla wax and castor oil and zinc and copper and pumice and a dozen other materials collected from Oregon, Mississippi, and Mexico, and Sri Lanka, and Indonesia, and Italy, and other far-flung corners of the globe through various mining, logging, and production processes, transported to various locations to be cut, kiln-dried, tinted, glued, treated, lacquered, vulcanized, and otherwise prepared before being assembled in a factory. And it's not just that process itself, but all of the truckers and miners and loggers and factory workers and all the people who supply their tools and equipment and the sailors and lighthouse keepers and truck manufacturers and hemp growers and farmers and coffee bean pickers and the millions of people who facilitate their tasks. It takes untold millions of human beings to make a pencil. These people don't know each other. They have no interest in acquiring a pencil themselves. Almost none of them even imagine that they are involved in any way with the manufacturing of a pencil. And yet, their cooperation, or more crassly, their gross self-interest, motivates them to assist in this vast, intricate, globe-spanning operation. And there it sits, the miracle of their production that could never have been directed by any one person or one planning group, even if they had the gumption to try to do so. A pencil. Or a toothbrush. But that's not quite the point that I'm making here today either. No, my point is a more fundamental one. Namely, we already live so much of our lives in anarchy. We already love and embrace and accept that fact. If Biden or Trudeau or Starmer or any of these clowns came in and proposed that the government start dictating what time you wake up in the morning or what you eat for breakfast or trying to take over production of paperclips or dictating to you what exercise you should do or how often you should do it, you would rightly laugh in their face and go back to living your life in anarchy. We know that human beings are best left to their own devices to figure out for themselves the answers to the million problems and questions that confront us every day. We also know that people are flawed. They will make mistakes. They will make choices that we prefer they didn't make. But that's life. And you know what? Sometimes we're wrong. Or, at the very least, our answer isn't the only one. Yes, sometimes people will make irrational decisions. Sometimes they won't like a pair of pantyhose because they're out of fashion. And only the most cold-blooded, psychopathic, anti-human technocrat could look at those inherently human thoughts and ideas and feelings and decide that that's a problem that needs to be solved by the state. And if almost everything we do is lived in anarchy, beautiful, glorious anarchy, with no government oversight or regulation or control, and if the thought of government breaching that anarchy to tell us how to cut our hair or to determine the manufacturing of toothbrushes is an inherently laughable and ridiculous idea, then why is it so ridiculous to consider that those few things that government likes to claim we absolutely and totally need it to accomplish could not likewise be solved by the miracle of human cooperation? The provision of security, the adjudication of disputes, the regulation of food and medicine, the defense of our community. One day, people will look back on people who believed we need the government for such things with the exact same mixture of humor and bemusement and derision as we look back at the Soviet-era technocrats that thought they needed government state planners to tell them how many toothbrushes to manufacture. I look forward to that day, and I hope you'll be with me to enjoy it. We're going to leave it here today with the international anthem of the glorious State of Technocracy, Inc. Everybody wants to rule the world. But I think we'll leave it there for today. I am James Corbett of The Corbett Report here in the beautiful sunny climes of Western Japan.
Own remote. to decide. Help me make the most of freedom and of pleasure. Nothing ever lasts forever.